you have your Bibles this morning, 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and I want to read one verse, verse number 9. And I want to entitle this message, The Eyes of the Lord. The Eyes of the Lord. Father, I just pray this morning that your precious Holy Spirit will speak to us. Lord, we need to hear from you this morning. We need to hear from you this morning. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would have his way in our lives every single day. Lord, just remove every hindrance, anything in our minds that would hinder us from receiving your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The eyes of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And I want to read verse number 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. To give strong support. How many need support this morning? How many really need support this morning? Spiritual support. To give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. So the support goes to the blameless, not the perfect. But the blameless. That means that whatever the Holy Spirit puts His finger on in our lives, we're not going to resist. We're going to allow Him to touch us and to reveal things to us and, if need be, to convict us. Yes. Amen? The Bible says that He's going to give His support to the blameless. Now notice the next part of this verse. Because it doesn't seem to coincide with what I just read. The fact that God is going to support and give strong support to the blameless. And then we have the end of this verse. You have done foolishly in this. From now on, you will have wars. It seems to be contradicting what I just said. But in the context of the verse in the chapter and the book, it makes a lot of sense. If you read the whole chapter, you're going to see that Israel was in disobedience to God. They were not walking according to God's ways. So they found themselves in a place where they were being pursued. They were being followed. They were being fought against. And they had to defend themselves. Wars that were brought upon them because of disobedience to God. Hello? The Lord showed me in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. We don't have the verse up here this morning, but if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. I believe that these wars brought on torment. tormented because they were always on the defensive. Because some enemy was coming to attack them, to oppress them, to steal from them. And I believe we're seeing a lot of that today in the church. We have a lot of believers and unbelievers that are being tormented.
Hello?
That are being tormented. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. Think about that this morning. Saul was chosen by God to lead the people of Israel. He was the king. And yet here he is being tormented by a spirit that God has allowed to come upon him. Why? Why would someone who is the king of Israel, chosen by God, be tormented by a spirit that God has allowed to come upon him? It all comes back to disobedience. Disobedience opens the door to the work of the enemy in our lives. Can somebody say amen? That's the truth. Follow me this morning. We are praying for people that are being tormented. Christians that once knew the Lord and walked with God, that understood the gospel, but somehow along the way they drifted, they became rebellious against God and decided to walk in their own way, and now they're being tormented. Notice what it says here in verse 14. This tormenting spirit came from the Lord. In other words, God allowed it. And you know what I'm seeing? I don't know if you're seeing it. But over the last 15 years of pastoral ministry, I am seeing more and more believers, Christians, that are being tormented. And it's causing them to lose their sanity. Are you hearing me this morning? What is coming out of their mouths no longer makes any sense. I don't know if you've met somebody like that, but I've met lots. What is coming out of their mouth no longer makes any sense. And friends, let me tell you something. We have the mind of Christ. But if we walk in disobedience, we open a window to the devil himself to invade our minds and begin to confuse us and disorient us and get us away from the will of God for our lives. Even Christians can say some pretty confusing things that make no sense if you're reading the Bible. Are you hearing me this morning? Somehow, some way, something has happened, and the only way to get back is old-fashioned repentance and saying, God, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, purify me. Come on, somebody. Work in my life one more time. Some people don't want to be convicted. But conviction is the best thing that can ever happen to us. Amen. Are you hearing me this morning? The conviction of the Holy Spirit is the best thing that could ever happen to us. Hallelujah. That means we're a child of the of God. We have been born of the Spirit of the living God. I think about Saul. The Bible says that David was called alongside of him as a young person to play. And every time he played that instrument, the evil spirit would lift. You know, I see young people today tormented by evil spirits. I can see into the spirit realm, and I can see young people even now in our town and in our valley that are being tormented by evil spirits as young as 8 and 9 and 10 years old. The devil is coming to torment them. Friends, it's time for the church to rise up with the authority that God has given to us and rebuke the enemy and come up against him in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, the wars have got to cease. And the only way for the wars to cease is repentance. Are you hearing me this morning? We cannot make an easy road for people and say, if you just come forward, we'll just slap a little oil on you and that problem is going to go away. No, somewhere there's a root that needs to be pulled out. There's a place in the spirit that we need to ask God to forgive us and cleanse us and purify us in the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel the power this morning. God is speaking to our hearts. God is constantly looking for a people that hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're not perfect. None of us here are perfect. But our heart cries out for more of God. Our spirit cries out for more of God. We thirst, Lord, we want more of you this morning. A people that desire to be fully surrendered to Him. Believers that are willing to be fully obedient to whatever God asks them to do. Psalms 34 verse 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears toward their cry." The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears toward their cry. God is even now creating a dividing line. God is even now creating a dividing line. Look at Malachi chapter 3. And we've been examining this verse on Tuesdays more than once. And the Holy Spirit has been speaking through these sets of verses constantly. And I want to bring it out this morning. Verse 16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another." And I love this part. "And the Lord paid attention." Glory to God. "And the Lord paid attention." Praise God. Isn't that what we want God to do this morning? We want Him to pay attention when we are calling upon His name. "And those who feared the Lord." You know, we need the fear of God in the church again. Yes. We need the fear of God in our homes again. And the Lord paid attention and He heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before Him of those, again it says, who feared the Lord and esteemed His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Do you know that when you walk before God in holiness and in purity, there is a preservation that God has for you in the name of Jesus? He's in front of you. He's in back of you. He's on either side of you, protecting you day by day by day. He preserves the righteous. But look at verse 18. Then once more, you shall see, follow this closely this morning, you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. And I believe God is creating a dividing line where you're going to know if you're serving the Lord, you're going to know that other person, whether they're serving the Lord or not. I'm not talking about judging them, but you're going to sense a oneness with their spirit because you sense in them what you're sensing in yourself, and that is a hunger for the things of God. Hallelujah! You see, when I spend time with someone, I want to sense that they hunger for God. That deep within them there's a cry. There's a thirsting. Hallelujah. And the truly righteous one is the one that says, Lord, it doesn't matter. I just want to walk with you. Hallelujah. I just want to follow you wherever you go. I just want to be there with you. Hallelujah. I don't care about the sacrifice. I don't care what I have to give up. I just want to be fully immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you shout amen, somebody? I just want to hold that God. You know, there's a lot of fakes in the church. When I say the church, I don't mean just this church, but the church. Fakes. They seem to know what to say, but there's no hunger there. Are you hearing me? They can quote scripture. They seem to know their doctrine pretty good. But there's no thirsting there. There's no hunger there. Friends, those are the people God's looking for. The hungry. The thirsty. He doesn't care how smart you are. He doesn't care how much possessions you have. He doesn't care about any of those things. He's looking for a people that are thirsty. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thirsty.
You say there's no fakes. Can I give you a verse to prove it? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. There are fakes. There's lots of fakes. And the fakes are increasing. I'm not talking about perfect people. But fakes. Are you a Christian? Yes. Let's go to the prayer meeting. Not interested. You Christian, yes. Let's open up the Word of God and study it again. Not interested. Hello? Look at this verse, verse 26. On frequent journeys, Paul's talking about all the things that he faced in life. In danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my own people. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Danger from Gentiles, danger in the city. Well, there's a lot of danger if you're going to be an apostle. Danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, and danger from false brothers. I've read that so many times, never seen it before. False brothers. People who claim to be Christians, but are not really born again. Have never had their life transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And their agenda is self. Hello? Self. What is in it for me? That's all they're concerned about. But the true, genuine believer may struggle, may go through difficulties, may find themselves sometimes just crying out to God, Lord, help me! But they just want to give it all to Him. Hallelujah. Nothing else matters but laying it all on the altar of sacrifice. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter. Hallelujah. I just want to lay it all out before Him. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm laying my life on the altar of sacrifice. That's all they care about. I believe God is preparing a remnant. 1 Kings chapter 19. God is purging the church. The purging has already begun. The sifting. You know, there has to be sifting. The fire has to get hotter. Right? The waters have to get deeper. And I think about Abraham when God called him to sacrifice his own son. I was reading that this week. The Bible says he got up early in the morning. You know, we would probably sleep in if God asked us to sacrifice one of our children. We would sleep in, maybe till noon. But that's not what Abraham did. He got up early. He got on about the business of sacrificing his son. Think about that for a minute. And he took his own son with a few servants and came close to the place where he would offer the sacrifice. And his own son asked him, where's the sacrifice, Dad? Where's the sacrifice? And you know what Abraham said? The Lord will provide. But I'm thinking, as I'm reading this story, what was going through Abraham's mind as he approached the place of sacrifice and his own son says, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And he tells the servants to stay behind, the Bible says. And he took Isaac, and I don't know how he did it, but he bound his own son up and laid him on the altar. And the Bible says he took the knife and he was a about to slay his own son when God cried out, Abraham, I have another sacrifice. Hallelujah. You don't have to kill your own son, but now I see that whatever I asked you to do, you're going to do it. You're fully and completely surrendered to me. Wow. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel. All the knees that have not bowed to Baal. You know, we have a lot of believers that are bowing to Baal to save their own hide. Are you hearing me? When God says, I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Think about that for a minute. I believe God always has a people. God will always have a people. Can you say amen this morning? God will always have a people. Hallelujah. I pray that this house will be a house that belongs fully and completely to Him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We have been set apart by God to follow Him and to walk with Him. Hallelujah. And to seek His holy face. Can I tell you it's not going to be easy? Not going to be easy. It's going to be painful at times to give it all to God. It's going to be heart-wrenching to say, Jesus, I give it to you. But friends, in the light of eternity, it's going to be worth it all. Hallelujah. It's going to be worth it all. Hallelujah. You may not have a ton of friends. You may not have everything that the world has. But if you've got a close relationship with Jesus, you've got it all. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God has to strip some things away. He has to cut some things away. The cutting is not pleasant at the time. But it just has to be done. But God says, you're mine. You're my possession. You're my treasure. You belong to me. And when you step out on the battlefield, you're going to have the assurance that God Almighty is standing with you. Hallelujah. If I want someone to stand with me, I want God to be in my corner. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's going to be worth it all. One last set of verses, Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, and I'm closing. You know, people are not going to understand the the sacrifice that you're making. And you know what people are going to tell you? You don't need to do that. I'm sure you've already heard that from someone.
Oh, come on. You don't need to do that. God wants you to have a good time. You don't have to give that up.
Yes, you do.
But if God says give it up, you have to be obedient. And you know what? Can I say something else? Sure I can. You know what? God may ask me to give up something that He's not asking you to give up. Because He knows our hearts this morning. And there may be something God's asking you to do that He may not be asking me to do. But we have to be obedient to whatever God is saying to us in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because we're never going to be joyful. We're never going to be happy until it's all given up. Hallelujah. Everything's gone. It all belongs to Him. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, write the words of Him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. You know what? We need to go back to Bethel. And we need to remember what God said to us. Maybe it wasn't last week, maybe it wasn't last month, but somewhere we received a word from the Lord. And have we been obedient to that word? Keep it and repent. And if you will not wake up, I will come like a thief. Now this is Jesus speaking. I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Wow. Is that in the Bible or what? God come. I mean, this was written to the church. God's going to come against some people in the church. The Bible says, if we love the world, we have become an enemy of God. James, the book of James. Let me tell you, it's not easy to preach this message this morning. But I have to be obedient to God. But look what it says in verse 4, speaking of a remnant. Yet you have still a few names. You know, sometimes it's just a few in comparison to the crowds. It's just a few. It's the truth, isn't it? I want everyone. But God says, sometimes it's not everyone. It's just a few. You have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments. And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. My prayer for you this morning is that hunger for God would grow.
Are you hearing me this morning? That thirsting to be like Jesus would grow in you. You can't do it in your own strength. You need the Holy Spirit. But that desire has to grow. Hallelujah. My prayer this morning is it would so consume you that your heart yearns for Jesus. As Paul said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings. You know what the most difficult thing for a pastor is? To see someone who knows the truth and walk away from it. It pains my heart because I know God wants us to follow him fully and completely in the name of Jesus. Will you bow your heads this morning?